This program is sponsored by Love Radio Network.
Get ready to kick up some dirt and mud because it's time for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl. SDORC is here to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. So whether it's bikes, buggies, trucks, or trikes, San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio brings you the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles and protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. Because, together, everyone achieves more. Now, here is your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome. You are listening to SDORC Dirt Radio. FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment is brought to you by Scooney's Side-by-Side in lovely El Cajon, right off of Greenfield. If you have a side-by-side, three-wheeler, quad, whatever you've got, and you're looking for a good, honest shop that will definitely put all their efforts into customer service, then Scooney is where you need to be. Go to Scooney's Side-by-Side in El Cajon. All right, we've got the gang in the house, so... We have more commercials.
I've got another commercial.
Well, just go ahead.
You want me to do it?
Yeah, since it's...
All right. We also have Crystal Clear Detailing. Crystal Clear Detailing from your motorhome, your boat, RV, motorcycle, travel trailer, side-by-side, buggy, or just your tow pig truck. He's got you covered for all your desert toys, classic cars, and exotics. He comes to you to get the job done. Crystal Clear Detailing has been servicing all of San Diego County since 2008, specializing in wash and wax, interior details for motorhomes, paint correction, and ceramic coating repairs. Crystal Clear Detailing, give them a call or text at 858-229-3669.
All right.
Thank
Thanks.
You.
My car could use a detail. Okay. So we're going to talk about the Mojave Trails National Monument. This was made by President Obama in, I believe, 2016.
Yep.
And it encompasses an awful lot of land. I think it's 1.6 million acres in the Mojave Desert. So if you drive out Highway 15 to Las Vegas, before you get to Nevada, you're crossing this vast open desert, and a large part of that area of desert is this national monument. And what it was before was just Bureau of Land Management limited use land, and it was available for a variety of different uses, mining, hunting, rock gathering, shooting movies, all kind of stuff can take place there. And off-roading for sure, but not just anywhere you want. You'd have to stay on the trails out there. So before it was made a monument, the off-road leadership of California was working with Senator Dianne Feinstein, and she was also working with some environmental people, and we were trying to craft a bill to do a couple of different things. A Nature Conservancy donated a large amount of land to the Bureau of Land Management so that it could be protected and preserved. And what happened is the Bureau of Land Management received applications to do renewable energy on that land, and that really upset the environmental people that had donated it for protection.
I mean, I don't like the renewable energy either. When you drive down the 15, if you're headed up to Las Vegas, I mean, look at all of the solar fields that are all the way there. If you're headed out to Glamis off the 8 freeway, look at all the solar fields that are there. The reflection of it, the birds that they kill, and it doesn't
prove to be efficient.
Not at all. If you look at what has to happen, it cannot
sustain what California demands for power.
Well, even then, the renewable energy of those, if you look at each of the actual solar panels and what's used to create that material, I mean, it's a hazardous waste material. There's no proper way to actually get rid of them. They only last for so long.
And if you don't put maintenance on them, do you have solar?
Yes.
When's the last time you had your panels cleaned?
We do it twice a year.
Right.
I want to say every 6 months we actually have ours cleaned.
I can actually see a difference on my panels output by cleaning. I guarantee you they're not cleaning those panels out in the desert.
Oh, no. Definitely not.
With all the sand and the silt and the dust and the dirt, So the efficiency is just going to keep dropping. Then
they
when
have
it,
sandstorms out there, for
sure. And then when it fails, one of those panels fail, or two or three, they don't know. They're not. Yeah. I don't think they're monitoring. So
a thing about this renewable energy, wind and solar, is that what if the clouds come over? What happened? Like suddenly the clouds come and block, or suddenly the wind stops blowing.
Well, you don't have solar. We do, so we know what happens.
So the power stops.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't stop. It drops. You know,
so my point is, somewhere there's a fuel burning plant that's running, that's ready to turn up the screw, the moment the clouds come over, the moment the wind stops, that plant has to be ready to go. Because it takes a long time to turn on the power, get it warmed
what
up,
plant?
Get everything tuned. Whatever power plant is making power for us.
What plant?
Yeah, they've got rid of most of them.
Name me a plant that comes online.
You know.
That's why they're already starting us now. Be ready for black and brownouts.
Oh, 100%.
Because they have no way to supply you with power once the sun's, you know, goes down, or there's a storm. No, it's...
Or the wind stops.
No, I wish there was, but they've shut them all down. They've shut every one of the backup plants completely down.
Yep.
So what happens at 3 in the morning when there's no wind?
You're going to find out come summer. Just be ready.
What happens when they're telling us that we need to move to electric cars and we don't have the electricity to run
the car? What happens tonight at 3 in the morning when there's no wind and there's no sun?
You're in trouble.
How does the power stay on?
Because the power
station... They're burning fuel somewhere.
Yeah, but I'm telling you... Go find me a plant.
That's going to be the hydro plant
right.
at Lake Mead's Dam is what powers
right.
all of Southern California. But
it can't,
anyway, but LA,
it
San
can't,
Diego and everything.
But
so.
It can't do the whole state. Because what they've done is as they've shut down these plants, they're relying more on air or wind and sun, but there's no backup. There's just no backup.
So let's go back to the Mojave Trails National Monument, because there's a comment period open right now, and the BLM is asking for people to write comments and tell them what they want to see in a management plan for the area. Like, and by making it a national monument, renewable energy is off the table. I don't think there's any way they can bring that out there. So there's uses of the land that are a little controversial now. For instance, rock hounding, like amateur people that want to go to the desert and they want to find minerals and take them home. Is that going to be allowed, or is that not going to be allowed? And will it be maybe partially allowed at certain places?
Do you have to claim it? Is it going to be like almost like a site, a mineral, like a mine
like,
site where you
like,
have to actually stake a claim and actually have?
I don't think it's
how's
like that.
How does that work with that? You know,
can you start bringing heavy equipment in so you can start
not.
Digging?
Oh
for
gosh,
a
no,
stone?
Not national monuments. No. That will not allow heavy equipment whatsoever. Yeah. You know,
it's so like large scale. Mineral operations, mining operations are off the table.
Right.
But what about a guy with a small shovel and a bucket, and he wants to go out and find some stuff? So that needs to be decided in the management plan.
What about a sluice bucket that you can take rocks, throw it in there, run water over it, and see if you get any gold out of it?
Oh, gosh.
So
that's not going to be allowed. It's a national monument. National
right.
monuments are almost, you're on the verge of designating it a wilderness,
right?
And once it's designated a wilderness, because we still have motorized recreation allowed
on
there, right?
It's the strictest form of land management is wilderness. And this is a step.
This is the closest step to it.
It's
right?
close to it, but it's not a wilderness study area. Which is right next to a wilderness. But another controversial aspect is other kinds of commercial activities. For instance, shooting a movie. So you've seen that a lot of movies have scenes out in the desert.
Most of them. Talk about any of our
like those,
outer
those
space
religious
ones.
Movies, outer space movies. Just a lot of movies are in the desert. So when they shoot a movie, they need to bring a lot of stuff out there. I have seen movies taking place in semis way out there with a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So will that be allowed?
Complete
like
movie
how
sets
much
come into stage.
And at what level of stuff can they take out there
Well, but
so that
for the movie part, I was just going to say they need to have a contract, I thought, to even get approved to even have to rent out the space and everything.
They need
like
to
that,
get a permit.
A permit. The BLM. That's what it was. Yeah, a permit. Sorry. That's
and I'm friends with a guy that his livelihood is consulting for movie companies to get permits in the desert.
Primarily. All right, we got to take a break. But I just went through Zion National Park. You better not take anything out of Zion National Park.
Okay. Yeah, so a national park and a national monument are slightly different.
I know, but I'm just saying.
But yeah, they're pretty strict, huh?
Let's take a quick break. You're listening to SDORC Dirt Radio FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks. Welcome back to SDORC Dirt Radio FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer. This segment is brought to you by Gravel Kings. Gravel Kings is all about our off-road lifestyle, off-road racing, and creating memorable off-road content. Gravel Kings brings you new content every week. Follow their Instagram and subscribe to their YouTube for weekly updates and releases where they're going to pop up next. You can also find their current lineup of drivers and Gravel Kings past events by visiting their website at www.gravelkings.com.
All right, and hey, and if you are in a situation where you need tires, whether it's a big rig, little rig, off-road buggy, whatever it is, Wayne Miller is there for you. You know, you can get be working on the job site, rip a tire off, just call them. They'll come out and hook you up. Call Wayne Miller Mobile Tire Service in Santee, family-owned and operated. They also do tires, alignment, brakes, shock, suspension. They'll even work on your transmission, do oil changes. Give Ricky a call at 619-596-2800. That's Wayne Miller Mobile Tire. Tell him you heard it right here on KCBQ AM 1170.
The answer.
So all right. On this national monument, the part of it that we care the most about is routes, being able to drive our vehicles out there. And I volunteered to be on the advisory group for the Bureau of Land Management for this management plan. And I came to find out during that the route designations is going to take place in different management plans, namely WEMO and WECO. And those strange words stand for Western Mojave and Northern Northeast Mojave. Is that right? Yeah, Northeast Mojave, NEMO. So WEMO and NEMO are the management plans that are going to designate off-road vehicle use. And the management, the National Monument is just going to use whatever the BLM gives them for those route designation plans. So we'll be watching for those. I volunteered for that project to look out for off-road vehicle trails. And it turned out that they weren't being worked on the monument. But I found it extremely interesting. And I'm willing to go to bat for our rock hounding friends and for our movie friends, because you don't want to just shut the desert down and not ever have a wonderful movie. I mean, who doesn't like a great movie experience? So there's a comment period going now through.
When is the last time you went and seen a great movie lately?
A great movie? It's been a while. I've seen a few movies, but a great movie?
Go to Texas. You'll watch Rust, I bet.
Yeah, I'll watch it.
I knew you would. Are you watching Rust?
I don't even know what it is.
That's the one with Alec Baldwin.
Oh, that one where he shot that?
Oh.
I don't know.
I didn't even know what it was.
And it's a B movie to begin.
I don't know. You know, I've bought some Academy Award winning movies. I like looked at the... I want to see that because I haven't seen that many movies, right. And I want if I'm going to spend the time, I want to see like a really good.
Getting
movie.
Ready for a retirement, as you can tell.
I am. I'm weeks away.
I was
away.
Listening to KGB Mornings the other day, and they had the movie list on Monday mornings. They were talking about old school movies on Monday
old
morning.
School,
old
okay.
movies, yeah. Like old school movies. And they listed a few of them, and I was like, oh, I need to watch that. Oh, I want to watch. Everything that I want to watch is like 20 years old or older.
Yeah, but it's easy to find. Let me tell
Even
you.
Like 40,
and it was made in
years.
The areas in District 37 in Mojave Desert. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah. But see, nowadays, you know, Brendan can tell you about movies. He watches them. I mean, every chance we get, we talk about old movies because they're still the best. But anyway, we digress.
Yeah. So there's a comment period. If you want to make a comment, go to the SDORC website. on the homepage. You can read into it and you'll find the link. If you have trouble finding the link, send an email at info@sdorc.org and I will steer you in the right direction. Another thing that's going on, which has me... So Dave has said that the first show and the last show on Sunday make his blood boil. And so here's one. The Bureau of Land Management is working to make a national rule, not state or regional, to move conservation up to a multiple use, to an official multiple use, and also to allow the BLM to sell conservation easements for the highest bidder so that the Sierra Club could take control of a large swath of Bureau of Land Management land and they could control it how they please.
They could put condos in.
No, it would have to be stricter than the current, but it couldn't be looser. So they, in other words, they could take a place that has routes and things that people want to do, and they can draw a circle around it, and they can say, no, nobody can come in here anymore. And that's very scary. So they also want to make making ACECs easier. And an ACEC is an area of critical environmental concern. And an ACEC does not mean you can't go in there. It just means they look at it a lot more carefully, and routes are more likely to be closed in that place.
Yeah, if it's an ACEC, then the regulation that comes down on it, it's an area of critical concern, critical habitat, right?
Who
so
makes
whether
that
it's
decision?
The water, it's the...
The agency, the, BLM.
Yeah, so it depends on where the land is, whether it's under the Forest Service, the Bureau of Land Management, or a state park. But once it gets considered, then they have to treat it like that. And if it... If this rule makes it easier to create an area of critical environmental concern, then to me, it's just like when we lost Ocotillo Wells to Anza Borrego, right? Anza Borrego is limited trail use. Ocotillo Wells is completely open desert. You can ride anywhere you want. And in 2012, a large portion of Anza Borrego got added to Ocotillo Wells. And a lot of the areas that got added had springs.
Wait, did you
right?
say that backwards?
Yeah, I did say that backwards. Ocotillo Wells got added to Anza
Borrego. You're talking about
sorry.
The Truck Haven transfer?
Yeah, the Truck Haven transfer. So I know of three year-round springs that were in that area that you could go to that wildlife drink water at and such. And now you can't get access to those areas because they're
you
not...
Can
you can walk.
You can't drive.
You can't drive. But I'm not going to hike my butt 12 miles in.
You're not
going
to walk in there
I'm not
to
walk.
Look at a spring?
Nope. I will...
I don't blame you. That's hard walking out there.
I do like 8 miles. 4 miles in, 4 miles back. That's like
lot.
My max is what I'm going to do. I like the environment and I love going out, but I'm not going to walk further than like 8 miles.
So something interesting came up with this this new BLM rule. And by the way, there's also a comment period open right now until June 20th for the same thing. Congressman John Curtis of Utah has introduced a federal bill, H.R. 3397, that would require the BLM to withdraw their misguided conservation rule project.
Oh, that's fabulous news.
So we love this guy.
Yeah.
This
we
guy,
like him.
This John Curtis, we'll have to send him a thank you note.
Yeah, Congressman of Utah, we appreciate you because for the understanding that this Bureau of Land Management conservation rule is ridiculous.
It's just crazy.
We've talked about this the last couple of weeks, and the main point that Ed has brought up is how many different acts are there already in Congress and in states that already designate the land to manage it, right? You've got the Antiquities Act.
Endangered Species Act.
Mm-hmm. There's at least
Migratory Bird Act.
There's at least 10 FLIPMA. Different. Yeah.
I forget.
It's just like you said a minute ago. My first hour and my last 2 hours are the worst. And you can compare them almost identical. They want everybody's guns. They don't want you
and
to own
our
a gun.
Land.
And they want your land.
Yep.
Well, there's another whole thing in California that's really going to get you bent. So we'll get to that in the next segment.
We still got a few more minutes. But yeah. No, I mean, it's just, but I sit here.
They just are whittling away.
But
it's a
why?
Ratchet wrench. They're just clicking.
But why? What is their
They want control.
Goal?
They want control over us.
They don't want you to have freedom and rights. They don't want you to be able to go wherever you want. They want you to be limited. They want the 15-minute cities. If you really want to get down to it, we can get. I could go down a rabbit hole really.
Well, did you see what China's concept? Just this really, 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 really long, very narrow apartments and businesses in a very skinny part of the land.
Oh, I thought they were already building that in Saudi Arabia. Yeah, it's like a wall. It's an apartment wall that goes miles long, and it's very skinny.
Was it Saudi Arabia?
And it's Saudi Arabia that's doing that.
Mm-hmm. And that's what. But see, they can control everybody that
way. They can, 100%.
And you won't have any cars. There'll be no cars.
Yeah.
Except for the rich. The super rich will always have cars.
Oh, but it won't be cars. It will be helicopters.
Well, no. If you think a Saudi is going to give up
portable?
They're going to be little portable helicopters.
A Saudi is not going to give up his Bugatti. A Saudi
you're right.
Is not
they're
going to
have their cars,
car.
But the common person won't.
You want to make money? Sell sand cars to Saudi Arabia. A friend of mine does.
Really?
And he says the money they spend.
Well, that's because they're all oil rich. Every single one of them is a prince.
But I'm just saying. What you were just talking about is strictly to control the population.
Yes.
But they'll have all their toys and they'll have everything they need.
Yeah. I talked to one of the sand car builders and I said, so how's it going? I saw him at Sandsports. How's it going? How's sales? Oh, we're killing it. We're full up. We're building as many cars as we can. They're all going to Saudi Arabia.
I was
going to
say, but they're not here in the U.S.
No, they're going to Saudi Arabia.
No, that's true for Tatum, and that's true for Funko,
Funko. That's the one I was talking to.
That's 100% true for Funko.
If you're good at working on those cars and you want a little change, boy, go out there and fix them because they don't know how to drive them.
Yeah, because they need people to maintain them.
They don't know how to drive them. They got repairs.
Well,
they have
a friend of mine goes out for repairs. He's done it twice. He says he'll never go back again. He said it's the worst.
Going over there?
No, it's terrible.
I bet. And it's not like you could go and pick up all the parts you need.
No. And you have no freedoms.
You want to talk to some girls in the bar? Forget it.
What girls? You don't have girls. How do you know it's a girl?
She's got a big thing on her head.
All right, let's take a quick break. This is STORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back to STORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
Also has listed internal combustion engines.
The Answer.
The Answer.
To be fair, it's my fault to be on that one because I off the air, I asked her a question.
You gotta stop doing off air. We're gonna do this.
We're trying to get through this. And
the debate is always better off air than it is on air.
Brandon,
let's be real.
Brought up a really important thing, and we'll talk about it in a minute.
Yes, I had it as one of the segments for today. We had started you said you wanted to talk about the motorcycles, on street motorcycles. So I threw it in as talking about the off highway one too.
Do we have any sponsors today?
Yeah, let's go to our commercial.
You want me to do it?
Sure.
This would be the Dirt Company, founded by Matt Martelli. Go to www.dirtco.com. You can follow him on Instagram at dirtco. Dirt Company is an original off-road lifestyle brand founded in the desert of Southern California, an off-road mecca for legendary racing teams. Founded by Matt Martelli with Mad Media, the Mint 400 and California 300. Check them out at www.dirtco.com for some legendary artwork, shirts, hats, and really cool racing decanters. Follow the Dirt Company on Instagram and give them a big support. Also, SNS Off-Road Magazine. Steve and Sherry do a phenomenal job since 1982 to keep you informed as what's going on out in the desert and, you know, even locally like Camp Lockett and other areas that they race. It's a super cool online magazine, I guess you could call it. It went from about 30 pages to over 100 just by going online. You can buy stuff offline. You can get parts and pieces. You could sell some of your gear if you want to upgrade. Check them out, SSORMAG.com. All right, where are we going now? Looks like
we're going to go to CARB. California Air Resources Board is taking a hard look at on-road motorcycle emissions, and they're looking at other stuff. So they've come out with a proposed change to their regulations, 97 pages. I've been reviewing it. Fortunately, when they make a change, they underline it, so it's easier to find the part that they're actually talking about. But they really are turning the screws on us. So, do you know what OBD is, Dave?
Onboard diagnostics.
So, like when your check engine light comes on, that's right. Your OBD. Right. And you can plug in a little tool and you can see a code and you can figure out what's wrong with your car. Mm-hmm. So, they're going to make OBD mandatory on all motorcycles.
Okay. And why are you saying you don't like that? Unless they're going to use it for other than diagnostics.
Here's my point of view. Can I throw my point of view on that?
Okay, because I have a very strong point of view on this.
Okay, so my point of view is all electrical. They're pushing all electrical on us, right?
Absolutely.
Why is the number one reason why they're pushing all electrical on us? They're pushing all electrical on us because they have no control over older vehicles, right? Mm-hmm. They can't, if you got a 2000 car, it doesn't have a computer on it. It doesn't have any of that. They have no control over it. Any of the newer vehicles that have an onboard diagnostic, have a computer, right? They actually have the electrical brain of that runs the entire car. That car has, from your start, push button start to your window, everything. Anybody can hack that car and take control over that car. So let's say in 10 years down the line, they don't want you to be off the highway. They don't want you to go off-roading and exploring. It's completely banned, right? They change it. They can turn you off, turn you around, and drive you back to where.
They won't do that. What you're missing is charge by the mile.
Yeah, that's what
has nothing to do with shutting you off or turning your car back on. Stop and think about it.
They could.
If you commute 100 miles a day.
I go down a conspiracy theory rabbit hole totally different than that.
No, I know
you
do. But
I 100% agree with the charge by the mile.
That's
San Diego
first.
Already voted
that's what
on.
Dave's saying is what they're working on.
That's the first
what
thing
Audrey's
they'll
saying,
accomplish.
That may be down the pike.
No, you know what it'll be down the pike when you're not allowed to drive a car or own a car. And all of a sudden you pop up as a little red dot on 405, they'll know to go get that. We probably won't be around. But the biggest and number one reason they're doing that is so they can charge by the mile. And if they can get it through in California, it's on.
Take it everywhere.
By the way, we have close to 15, 20 computers on our cars today from 2012 on up. So the technology's there. We're way behind. All they have to do is implement it.
So they want to do onboard diagnostic, and they have 7 different aspects of the engine running that they want to look at. They want to do a catalytic converter, an exhaust gas recirculator, misfire detection.
Just say emissions. It's easier.
Okay. Nitrous oxide, oxides of nitrogen, particulate, and fuel system monitoring. So they have all these different aspects that control emissions.
Yeah, but the general public doesn't understand it.
Okay, so they have 7 different things they want to look at for emissions. But what they're missing is, like, does it matter how the manufacturer makes the exhaust clean? Do they have to have a catalytic converter to make the exhaust clean?
Yes.
You say that. What if somebody comes up with a laser beam, they shoot in the exhaust, and it kills all the emissions?
Then when you plug your car in to get it smogged, and
this is motorcycle, it doesn't get smog test.
Not yet.
So this is for motorcycles.
Not yet.
So I think that it's okay for CARB to look at the tailpipe emissions. I don't think it's any of their business how the manufacturer goes about to make the thing run clean.
But
it's not their job to say you have to have an OBD with this, this, and this, and that. I don't think it's their job.
Well, you may not think it does, but
we care about the air in the sky.
Go talk to any car manufacturer and ask them
how deep carbon.
Can you just, as long as you get a clean tailpipe, can you get away with that? Absolutely not.
Well, I'm not denying that. What I'm saying is, it's not the air pollution people's business how we make emissions clean, as long as the emissions are clean.
No, it's
I
not.
I mean,
they have a rule.
Well, I'm not disagreeing that there are rules.
Yeah.
I'm saying those rules shouldn't be there.
But you can't. Okay.
I mean, I agree with that.
I agree with that too.
I don't want them there either.
I don't want them coming out to my house and putting a meter on my well.
Yeah.
My well.
Yeah.
I agree.
But
am
I going to be able to beat it? No, they're going to come out. They're going to do it. They have no choice. And this is another reason, if they'll use that data I'm telling you, once all this OBD 3 or 2 comes on board, you will be taking your bikes in for an examination periodically.
So they're saying you're going to have, this has to have, all these monitoring stuff have to have a 5-year warranty.
Okay.
All, they have 3 tiers of different displacements.
Right.
But it has to have a 5-year warranty.
And where is it warrantied? The dealer. And the minute
the manufacturer.
Well, the factory dealer, the Honda, Suzuki, Kawasaki, I don't care. The minute you have a problem, because it's going to put a check engine light on your bike, it's probably going to run like crap. So and you're going to have to take
only
it in.
Their
it's
computer go can tell you what's going on.
Of, it's going to go back to the same thing of like classic cars and such. And even cars right now, you can't upgrade. You're not supposed to have a certain muffler.
Right.
You can't have any. You can't. So it's going to be the same thing. You can't tweak your dirt
nope.
bike to make it go faster.
Nope.
You
nope.
can't do anything to the horsepower. You
can't
add.
Gear
heaven
cleaner.
Forbid you add a turbo. Heaven forbid you add nitrous. Heaven forbid you do anything to make it a race bike.
So there's more with this plan. So right now, they put the vehicle on a test stand and they run it through a standardized test and they collect the exhaust and then they can tell how many grams of pollution come into that bag per kilometer driven.
Okay, let me upgrade you a little bit. With today's cars, everybody has to have a dyno to get the engine. Not anymore.
Well, this is not the smog test. This is at the air pollution facility. This is different than plugging in. This is not a
smog
test.
Believe it or not, with the OBD, they know
this
if
is,
it's clean
this
or
is not the smog test. This
no,
is at the other place because I've watched them do this test.
How long ago did you watch it?
A couple years ago.
Go look at him today.
Dave, stick with me on this. So right now, motorcycles are allowed to emit no more than 1 gram per kilometer mm-hmm. driven on the specialized test.
Okay.
So they're turning the screws. Now it's 0.1 gram per kilometer.
Wow, that's a big difference.
10 times. Mm-hmm. But if you read into it, that's total hydrocarbons. So that's methane, hydrocarbon, and then all the others. If you go to the non-methane hydrocarbons, it's 0.067 grams per kilometer driven.
So
it is really far.
So what's your point?
Like they turned the screws too far.
So what's your point?
What do you mean? I'm going to comment on this.
Okay. And I'm sure that'll take care of the problem. The problem is there's not enough of you.
Yeah.
Screaming bloody murder
there's
out
not,
there.
There's not enough people who even understand what you're talking about in regards to to what
so
their requirement is. So basically, they're requiring almost a 20 times different regulation. They're coming down
14 times. And my bike's already running. My Husky 501, it's got a lot
clean.
Of stuff on it to run clean. It's very. You can run that thing in your garage and you'll be fine. It close. So they're doing more. There's other stuff that's making me mad
garage
here.
And you'll be fine.
This one is just makes me insane. So they're eliminating the ability to sell under 50 cc vehicles. 50 cc.
So
no more mopeds.
That's lawnmower, moped.
No,
that's
no.
My, so
no lawnmower. This is motorcycle.
You wanted to get a little.
That's my grandpa has his scooter. His my because he can't walk right, so he's got his little motorized scooter.
But
that
it's electric.
He can
it's electric.
Oh, yeah,
probably
I think
electric.
It is. It has a battery.
Everything
charges,
that
right.
you're talking about, the 50cc, you can
that's
go down
all.
To Motor World today and get a 50cc little dirt bike for your kid. But
right.
it's electric.
So what would be 50
Well, then
or
it wouldn't
smaller.
Be 50cc.
Well, equivalent to.
You yes, and they're promoting the electric stuff. But you can make a 4-stroke 50cc motorcycle, not very fast, but you can get extremely good fuel mileage. Like way over 100 miles per gallon.
The only thing I can tell you is you need to take up a carpentry class and start making displays that you can put your motorcycles in, because eventually you'll never be able to take them out on the road, because the fines if you get caught will be astronomical. They want
Dave.
Well, I know, but I
where
I hate
can
to,
we go? This is the land of the free. Where
well,
are we going
to
go from
to be.
Here?
It used
so,
to
Dave,
be.
So, Dave, there's another thing they're trying to, which. Okay, this doesn't make me crazy, but if I was a manufacturer, I'd be screaming bloody murder. All manufacturers shall report to the executive officer, and that's of the CARB, California Air Resources,
sure.
annually the number of street use motorcycles sold or offered for sale in California.
Of course.
You have to tell them how many.
They've always been doing
they've
that.
Always, yeah, they've always they've been always done that. To state how
Why,
many
Why?
How
is it their business?
Because.
How many vehicles we sell. Or they, the manufacturer.
They want to know how many are on the roads.
So they'll know when to shut it down.
Exactly.
And cause it to. Trust me, they're going to push you out of motorcycle. What, how would you like to have a classic car?
Oh, gosh.
Well, I'd love one.
The regulation.
I want a Barracuda.
But when you see what it's going to cost to register it, and you're limited.
You can't even smog them anymore.
No, you can't smog them.
Because, you can't even smog them
because
anymore.
They don't. Because they can't, there's no smog equipment.
That's because on the air intake, isn't regulated for the PM
no
that California
the,
allows. Right. And you allow too many parts per million. Yeah. Your PM is too high on the old cars that you can't even have it
but
come in anymore.
I will say this. The antique car community is way bigger and more organized than the motorcycle community.
Oh, 100%.
So consequently, and the
all those retired guys working on their cars.
They're
and they
just
have time,
hoping
they're smart.
They're just hoping once the baby boomer generation is dead, then you guys are a walkover.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because
you nailed
volume,
that on the head.
Just because of volume of people.
You nailed that.
Well,
all
education.
The baby boomers.
The education
with their
of you
cars.
Guys as opposed to the education of the generation following me and my generation is outrageous. You know?
Let's take a quick break. You're listening to FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. You are listening to SDORC Dirt Radio. FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right. Hey, off-road vehicle.
It's Lifestyle Garage in Lakeside. It came on the, I printed funny.
Oh, Lifestyle Garage. We're out there in lovely Lakeside. If you're looking to trick out your Jeep, truck, anything that you want to add to it and make that thing stand out, you know. Well, then it says, well, it's an off-road vehicle service as well. They'll take care of your vehicle, Chevy, Toyota, Ram, Ford. They service them all. So bring your vehicle down, get the maintenance, do some upgrades, insurance repairs. Insurance companies love them. Lifestyle Garage is driving a complete passion and lifestyle. Their technicians are specially trained to work on both commuter cars and vehicles designed for less traveled roads. At Lifestyle Garage, they specialize in off-road performance. Upgrades, drivetrains, exhaust systems. Check them out at 619-499-5323. 619-499-5323. Mm-hmm. And they come out and do military training with me, which I thought was pretty cool.
Oh, did Tony?
Yep. Him and his wife came out and spent the half a day talking to about 3,000 Marines.
That is so awesome.
We had this black rider that I can't think of his name. He's a trick rider. Super good. God, he's good. But anyway, I digress.
I don't know. So we're talking about the California Air Resources Board is tightening emissions on on-road motorcycles. And they are really turning the screws on us. And I say us because I'm a motorcycle lover. I have 14 motorcycles. And that's mostly all I think about and want to do is work on them and ride them.
But you know what kind of flared this up? The pandemic. More motorcycles.
They sold
were
a
sold.
Lot of bikes during
they
the
sold,
pandemic.
And then all of a sudden,
they sold out everything.
Air Research. Ooh.
Oh, there's too many people having
fun
on motorcycles.
We got too many motorcycles out there. This is a problem. We need to,
so
we need to
talked,
clamp down.
We talked about the onboard diagnostic. They have seven different things they're looking at. 5-year warranty. They're tightening hydrocarbons 14 times tighter than it is now. It's not like we're going to tighten up a little bit.
And by the way, they are looking at more than you think, you said. Because if you go to a car manufacturer and after a car accident, he says, we'll just pull the black box and see how fast the car was going. Oh, no, we don't call that. Well, I know for a fact they do because I had a kid crash a car at a BMW dealership. I mean, literally destroyed it. So they called him in. They said, I wasn't doing anything. He says, well, here's the report. You were doing over 160 miles an hour. You braked 12 times before you hit the wall.
Oh, my God.
So there's a lot, even, and that will be for motorcycles
so
as
we'll
well.
So we'll have that, too. There's a little black box in there.
Yep.
Okay, so 50 and smaller than 50 cc will not be allowed to be sold.
Right.
Even though they're incredibly fuel efficient.
Doesn't make any difference. I don't think they're clean though.
Well, they can be.
Well, I know,
but if it, so hydrocarbons come from the fuel exhaust. If they don't burn much fuel, they won't have much emissions.
And then how much clean, how's our clean gas? You ain't even gone down that dirt.
I don't want to talk about gas. So CARB is going to demand that you supply sample motorcycles for testing. So if you're planning to sell more than 500 motorcycle units in California, you have to give them 10 sample motorcycles.
Mm-hmm. So if 10. I'm a dealer and I sell 500 annually.
No, dealer, it's not the dealer, it's manufacturer.
Oh, Jesus.
So they'll just say, you know what?
Not a dealer. So Honda, are you going to sell 500 of these in California? You got to give us 10.
And what Honda will do is, you know what? We don't need to sell in California.
Yeah. Yeah.
So and let me go one another step it, and we'll get
all
to that.
Do it. If yep. one does it, we'll they get all to that. It.
So there's a couple of bikes. Honda makes an XR150L. It's under $3,000 retail. It gets 124 miles per gallon. Dave, is that pretty good mileage?
Sure.
The Honda Trail 125, $4,000, 110 miles per gallon. And the Honda Grom, you know about that bike, Dave?
Well, the monkey is the brother.
They're almost the same.
But you can't ride those on the freeway. You can
90
ride them
to
the
134 miles per gallon. Mm-hmm. So those bikes... Honda will not make those bikes. They're not going to put an onboard diagnostic with seven different factors they're looking at. It's just prohibitive to do that. So they're just going to stop selling those in California. That's the easy way to manage that.
And it goes on and on and on.
And that's what's killing me, is there going to be fewer motorcycles for sale in California.
California leads the way for the rest of the nation. I've always said that. What California does, the rest of the nation follows suit on. So that just means that you give it 5 years and
I'm on the far side of my life.
Those bikes won't be sold in California.
Does gun roster tell you anything?
I know, right?
We need all your information. Oh, you want to buy a bullet?
You can't.
I love the DR650 Suzuki. Mm-hmm. It's a simple, air-cooled, one-cylinder motorcycle. It's got enough power to cruise down the highway at normal highway speeds all day, but it's a bike you can work on yourself. You can work on it. You're in Alaska, in Siberia, in Southeast Asia. It's a bike you can stop and you can work on it. There's no way those things are going to be able to be sold. To put all that stuff on there, and that's a wonderful motorcycle. I'm planning on buying another one soon.
Yeah.
And they're not going to be able to sell those. The bikes that people love... So I looked at these, those three small bikes that I said got such high mileage. I looked at some for sale. I couldn't find one with more than 4,000 miles on it. Most of them had under 1,000 miles on them. And it, for a year's old motorcycles for sale. So how much bad stuff do those things put in the air when they get 100 miles per gallon and they're driven about 1,000 miles in 4 or 5 years? It's just the smallest spoonful of stuff.
It doesn't even matter if it's the drop in the bucket. We're a target for them to go after. So
I mean, it's Audrey's exactly right. They're coming after us.
Yeah. Well,
but they have to justify what they're doing. And right now is the time when they're trying to justify it.
It
and
goes
right
through.
Now is the time when they're making the rules and they're required to listen to the public.
It goes through to the going electric. It goes through to Assembly Bill 3030. It goes through to forcing the hand to turn electric, which makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
In this 97-page thing, they talk a lot about zero-emission vehicles,
yep.
ZEVs. There's like pages and pages. And I don't know why they're...
And that's what...
I didn't really read that much about the zero-emission bikes because I'm more interested in the gasoline powered bikes, but I need to go back and look at. Now I don't understand why they have pages and pages and pages of regulations on zero emission bikes. They don't have emissions. Leave them alone. Let them go. No, they gotta have control over that stuff.
Well, the zero admissions, part of what that was assembly, or not assembly bill, but executive order from Gavin Newsom, and Governor Newsom, as I prefer to him, and his executive order N-79-20, which states that he wants to have all off-road vehicles to have zero admissions on public land by January 1st, 2035. That hit social media really hard about a month, month and a half ago. And you know, we've been trying to help make everybody realize that what they were referring to was off-highway vehicle heavy equipment. So like earth movers,
tractors,
there's
a difference between
backhoes.
Off-road vehicles and off-highway vehicles. Off-highway vehicles are us people doing recreation off-road. Mm-hmm. Off-road vehicles are, what are they, Audrey?
You've got earth movers, tractors, backhoes, construction equipment, basically
farm
heavy equipment, farm equipment, your tractors and such. But when I looked this up and I actually pulled up the executive order N-79-20, they literally have in their off-highway vehicle.
Off-highway vehicles? Because I thought I read
and
that.
And off-road
I didn't see,
vehicles.
So, I see off-road, but not off. I didn't see off-highway.
Yeah. No, I pulled up the five-page executive order, the executive department for it, of what actually came through. And so it does state that it does want by 2035 not just off-road vehicles, which is the heavy equipment, but off-highway vehicles is included in that as well.
I got to read into this again because this. So I thought this was done in 2020, and then it it resurfaced a month or two ago, and I had a bunch of people come to me and say, hey Ed, what's going on with this? And I'm like, oh, don't worry about it. We're off-highway vehicles, that's off-road vehicles. But yes. Audrey found something in there that might be of some real concern.
Yeah, because it also states the passenger vehicle and truck regulation. It also states medium and heavy duty vehicle regulations in accordance with it. And as it goes through, and then as it goes down, I believe it's page 4 where it actually talks about that too. So this is what we're doing this for. This is why we have the off-road jamboree coming up. We need an obelist, and we need a lobbyist in Sacramento. Support San Diego Off-Road Coalition. Join us Saturday, June 24th at the San Diego Off-Road Jamboree. Become a member.
Lakeside
Rodeo Grounds. Yep. www.sdorc.org. Check us out. Become a member. Get involved. It's what it's about.
FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Thanks for joining us for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl, the program that is working to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. To learn more about SDORC and how you can get involved, visit SDORC.org. That's SDORC.org. Join us next week at this same time for more of the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles while protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. This has been San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio on The Answer San Diego.
This program is sponsored by Love Radio Network.